It's your final news bomb for the week. The first day on the air of 2026, and we're going to start out right here. Damn, Donald, back at it again. Trump is trading threats with Iranian officials on social media after the president said that he would come to the aid of people who are protesting the Iranian regime.
As economic protests spread across parts of Iran, President Donald Trump writes on his Truth Social platform that if Iran violently kills peaceful protesters, the U.S., quote, will come to their rescue, end quote. Trump writes, we are locked and loaded and ready to go. At least seven people have been killed in violence surrounding the demonstrations. Ali Larijani, who's the secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, responded on social platform X, saying Trump should know that intervention by the U.S. in the domestic problem corresponds to chaos in the entire region and the destruction of the U.S. interests, and he accuses the U.S. and Israel of stoking the demonstrations. And Larijani says, the people of the U.S. should know that Trump began the adventurism. They should take care of their own soldiers. I'm Donna Warder.
This is a feel-bad story disguised as a feel-good story. Let me explain what I mean. I am broadly supportive of the Iranian people and their pursuit of fair representation, freedom of expression, etc. They want the same things we want, but they have a much more narrow path to getting it because they're run by a bunch of theocratic maniacs. So I'm supportive of them. If they're protesting, I hope they get what they want, and I hope that tens of thousands of them aren't killed or disappeared like they were during the Green Revolution and the Arab Spring. So Trump coming out and saying that he supports their efforts and he's willing to protect them is great. I mean, that makes me feel good. I'm glad. Good job, President Trump. Then, you know, as usual, you kind of got to catch your breath and zoom out and remember some of his actions in this vein in the past. What makes Trump's sudden concern for these protesters ring hollow is how utterly selective it is. I'm old enough to remember when millions and millions of people marched peacefully in Hong Kong during the umbrella movement protests. Remember that? Everyone had the little umbrellas. It was one of the largest and most sustained civil protest movements in recent history. When people in Hong Kong were standing up against the Chinese Communist Party in support of their own right to self-rule and self-governance, Trump praised Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, and he stayed completely quiet about the umbrella movement. And he did that to protect a trade deal. In Russia, when Russians protested corruption, repression, when Vladimir Putin threw his main opponent, Alexei Navalny, in jail, sent him to Siberia to die in a jail cell, Trump did nothing. He just said, you know, that's Putin, that's Russia. They can do what we want. We're not going to get involved. Saudi Arabia, Egypt have also recently been the site of mass civil rights protests, which were violently crushed in both of those countries. And Trump called their leaders friends. I think he called the guy in Egypt like my favorite dictator. And he kept the weapons flowing to those countries so they could more easily suppress their own people. But now, hey, now it's Iran, a longtime adversary, and suddenly we're locked and loaded to get out there and rescue those protesters. Okay. That mismatch tells you that this is not about protecting the peaceful demonstrators. It's about when protest rhetoric is politically useful to the president. And those protesters in Iran will probably pay the price for that kind of fake solidarity. Because the Iranian government's favorite thing to do every time this happens is to say everything that is wrong in Iran is America's fault. It is foreign interference. That's the reason you're miserable. That's the reason your currency is collapsing. That's the reason the economy's in the dumps. And they'll continue to rattle their little sabers and threaten everybody in the region, U.S. bases, soldiers, everyone within missile range. So effectively, what we have here is not actual foreign policy. It's just two old men yelling at each other online, which somehow manages to be both geopolitics and the worst Facebook thread you've ever seen. 40 people are dead and more than 100 people are injured in Switzerland.
In Switzerland, investigators think they know what started a deadly fire at a ski resort. The belief is sparkling candles on top of champagne bottles set off the fire at the busy La Constellation Bar at the Crans Montana Resort when they came too close to the ceiling. About 40 people were killed. This man, Oscar, got out.
People were banging on the windows because it's like a winter garden. I don't know if you call it like this in English. It's like semi-outside spot, with, yeah, but still with windows. And everyone was banging on the windows and stuff, screaming. It was like a horror movie, but they couldn't get out. I think the windows were too thick.
The candles give off a stream of upward shooting sparks. The resort is in a small town. This man lives there.
I think it's a reminder to all of us to always appreciate life, because it can happen even in Crans-Montana.
Mourners have been leaving candles and flowers at an impromptu memorial near the bar. I'm Ed Donahue.
It's so hard to hear this story and not immediately think about other nightclub fires. And I don't know why I'm like this. This is a weird thing that I get fascinated by. You know, some people are really into true crime podcasts or unsolved mysteries or whatever. When I hear about a fire at a theater or a nightclub, I have to know everything about it. I don't know why. It's a compulsion that I have. So I hear about what happened in Switzerland, and I'm kind of filing it against what I know about other big nightclub fires, like the Great White concert in Rhode Island. You probably remember that. The Upstairs Lounge fire, just a handful of blocks from where I'm sitting right now in the French Quarter. The way that those people died is so horrific. The music is loud. You're in a packed room. Suddenly there's smoke everywhere. The lights go out. You don't know where the exit is. Everyone is pushing and shoving and panicking and coughing and stamping all over each other to try to get out. And they think what happened in this Switzerland bar, nightclub, is a flashover. And a flashover is when heat like builds up at the top of the ceiling, and everything gets superheated, and then it all catches on fire all at once. So it's not like a regular fire, you know, like if you set up, I don't know, if you got a big pile of wood in your backyard and you set it on fire at one end, and it slowly goes from one end to the other, right? It's kind of like you can see the fire moving in sequence. That's not what happened here. This is not just the original flame moving from spot to spot. This is the air, the furniture, the walls, everything lights up all at once. And once a flashover happens, survival inside that space is basically impossible. I'm kind of surprised that there aren't more deaths as a result of this incident. More people may die. There's, you know, 100 and some that are still injured. God bless them. Happy dry January to all who celebrate.
He was triple-fisted, but it's not what you think.
Coffee and orange juice and cranberry juice.
Those are on the virgin side.
Yes.
Because he, like millions of others, is giving dry January a run.
Probably, hopefully, I can stick with it the whole year.
To slow down from the holiday season, prioritize health, which is why a damp January has become more popular, reducing the amount we drink rather than total sobriety.
I think it's a good goal, but I think that a lot of people fall off of it. Better to try than not try at all.
Chris Fama for CBS News Boston.
This is my 15th dry January in a row, and I have become exceedingly efficient at it. I find every January, not so much that I'm getting better sleep or I have fewer headaches or I have more energy. It's just, it's really illuminating how much of your routine ends up being built around drinking without you even thinking about it. It's not a conscious decision. It's not something that you set out to achieve for yourself. It just sort of happens. There's the, I'll just have one drink. Or there's the, oh, well, I'm going out, I don't need a drink, but everyone else is drinking and I want to fit in, so I'll have a drink. There's the roadie. You know, it's like if you're walking or, you know, not driving, certainly, but I'll take a beer to go, take a drink to go. We do that in New Orleans all the time. The Saints game is already over, but why wouldn't I have one more beer? It's that third glass of wine before bed. You probably didn't set out thinking, I'm going to drink three glasses of wine tonight. I'll have one with dinner. Maybe I'll have one after dinner. Then that third one just kind of sneaks in there. That's what I mean. It's like it kind of creeps into your life in ways that you don't notice or think about until you take it away for a month and you suddenly realize how loud everything else is when you don't have that creep coming into your life. It's your energy. It's your mood. It's your creative output. It's your relationships. And all that is good for the most part, that those things get louder and give you a chance to kind of reconnect with what's most important. The other thing I really like about Dry January is that I don't have to achieve anything. I don't have to do anything. I'm not going to win at Dry January. The whole point is the learning. You learn something. That's the goal. Maybe you feel great. Maybe you're counting the days. But either way, you come out knowing a little bit more about your relationship with alcohol. And that alone is kind of the point. New Year's Eve could have been a nightmare for shoppers in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The FBI says it has disrupted a plot to attack a North Carolina grocery store in the Charlotte area on New Year's Eve. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson described it as an attempted terrorist attack. Arrested was 18-year-old Christian Sturdivant, who he says had been reading ISIS material and made TikTok videos.
And eventually reached out to what he thought was a member of ISIS. In reality, was an undercover agent with NYPD in New York. He pledged his allegiance to ISIS with that undercover agent, and he disclosed his plans to, quote, do jihad soon.
Ferguson says Sturdivant talked about his plans.
About what means he would use to kill innocent people. He said he was going to wear a Kevlar vest and attack people with knives and hammers. And, of course, he talked about when he was going to carry out this attack, which was New Year's Eve.
He was arrested Wednesday. Sturdivant is being held after an initial court appearance. I'm Ed Donahue.
It's crazy the degree to which I think we have already kind of moved on from the fact that just like 2 weeks ago, there was a foiled terror plot that like was supposed to take place in California, but also New Orleans. Remember that guy? I think he was from Lafayette, or he was on his way here from Lafayette when they pulled him over. This is the pattern that we keep seeing. It's these very young guys who are extremely online, black-pilled. If you remember the conversation I had with Ellie Reeve earlier this year, and they are just so convinced that the world is broken and that violent action is the only way to matter to anyone. A terrorist group like ISIS, they don't even really have to do much to recruit people anymore. They just sit there and offer themselves as an identity that you too can latch onto if you're angry enough. On the prevention side, there is something that we can all do, and it's mostly boring human stuff. If there's young people in your life, there's young people in your family, you know, pay attention to them and keep them anchored in the real world. Not online, not on social media, not on Discord, not on Twitch. Make sure you are participating with them in real routines, real responsibilities. Make sure that you know that you view them as real people and you expect them to show up. You pay attention to any sudden withdrawal, any nonstop doom talk. Ask them what they're watching. What are you listening to? How are you actually feeling? It's not an interrogation. Don't mock them for what their answer is. Listen and encourage things that undermine the algorithm. Gainful employment, sports, team activities, art, volunteering, make something, be needed somewhere. Again, you're not trying to police their thoughts. You're just trying to make sure the internet isn't the only place that they feel seen or significant. Sounds like Smokey Bear. You too can stop terrorist attacks. just by being a good person who gives a damn. We'll come back with more of your calls and text on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. If you want to react to anything you just heard in the news bomb, or, hey, what the hell, it's Friday, so give me whatever you got. I'm Ian Hokin for Scoot. I'll be right back after this. Stick around.